Railway Workers Union of Zambia, RWZ, demands 99 million kwacha underpayment for ISZ employees. President Hakainde Hichilema calls for unity, peace, as Zambia remembers KK. In international news, Mali under pressure as coordinated attacks aim to destabilize the state. And finally, within sports news, files calls for nationwide remembrance of Gabon air disaster victims. With upfront and reliable news every day, I'm Shekinah Sakala. The Railway Workers Union of Zambia, RWZ, has initiated legal action to recover over 99 million kwacha in unpaid separation benefits for 881 former Rail Systems of Zambia ISZ employees. RWZ President Nathan Zulu announced that the union has engaged Livingston-based lawyer John Kapepe of Natch Partners to pursue the claim, which stems from a 2012 concession termination. While the previous Patriotic Fund administration eventually paid out $5.1 million package in June 2021, the union contends that the payment was calculated using an outdated exchange rate. According to Mr. Zulu, the government applied the 2012 exchange rate of 5 kwacha 13 gwe to the dollar instead of the prevailing June 2021 rate of approximately 22 kwacha per dollar. This discrepancy has resulted in a calculated underpayment totaling to 99,325,116 kwacha 46 ngwe. Mr. Zulu noted that despite repeated attempts to resolve the matter with the previous government, their pleas were ignored. However, he expressed renewed optimism under President Hakainde Hichilema's administration, praising the current government's perceived empathy towards retirees and its commitment to correcting past labor injustices.
We have engaged a prominent Livingston lawyer, John Kapepe, of Mark Partners, to pursue the underpayment that was occasioned when the RIZ package was finally paid by the previous government in June 2021. This separation package arose when the government of Zambia terminated the concession agreement with the Rail Systems of Zambia and handed back the company to Zambia Railways in September 2012. We are therefore demanding that the rate which was supposed to be moved at the prevailing rate was 22 kwacha per dollar at the time of payment in 2021, and not the 2012 dollar rate, which was 5 kwacha 13 gwe. Our underpayment has been calculated and computed at 99,325,116.46 kwacha. We are highly hopeful that our claim will be attended to by our listening government, as it is genuine and non-controversial. Our expectation is that this whole issue must be resolved maybe before August when we go for elections.
President Hakainde Hichilema has emphasized the need for unity and peace in Zambia as the country prepares to observe Kenneth Kaunda Day, which falls on April 28th. The head of state says the day remains significant in honoring the legacy of Zambia's founding father, former first president Kenneth Kaunda, whom he describes as a patriot and a peacemaker devoted to unity and service. President Hichilema therefore underscores that Dr. Kaunda's message of one Zambia, one nation, one people remains highly relevant and should continue to guide the behavior of all citizens. He urges Zambians to rise above divisions, embracing peace, unity, and mutual care in commemorating this national hero. Furthermore, the President calls on Zambians to stay committed to building a stronger, more united, and just nation, noting that sustainable national development thrives only in an environment of unity and mutual understanding. In a separate development, the Energy Regulation Board, ERB, has granted Lwapula Oils Limited a license to operate a new service station in Tiengi, addressing long-standing fuel access challenges for local residents who previously travelled about 135 kilometres to Chelenge for fuel. The new facility aims to boost economic activity and reflects ERB's commitment to expanding energy services in rural, underserved areas designated as fuel deficit zones. ERB Public Relations Manager Namukolo Kasumpa disclosed the station meets national safety and environmental standards under the Petroleum Industry Code of Practice. She emphasized the regulator's focus on enhancing access while upholding high operational standards and encouraged potential investors to engage with ERB for setting up similar projects in underserved regions. The new service station is anticipated to promote local development and improve residents' quality of life by providing convenient fuel access within the community.
the Energy Regulation Board has granted the PRR's mandate the authority to operate a newly constructed service station in Jiangi District. This milestone marks the opening of Jiangi's very first service station, highlighting ERB's commitment to extending energy access to rural and fuel deficit areas. Until now, residents had to travel nearly 155 kilometers to Jiangi to obtain fuel. This new facility is a containerized refueling station constructed in strict accordance with the Zambian standards. It fully meets requirements for safety, product quality, environmental protection, and occupational health. Through this development, the ERB reaffirms its dedication to improving access to energy services across the country, with particular attention to underserved communities.
Stanbic Bank has reaffirmed its strong support for Zambia's trade and logistics ecosystem by offering solutions aimed at improving capital flow, enhancing transaction efficiency, and enabling more predictable cross-border operations. As regional trade intensifies and supply chains face growing challenges, the bank emphasizes that the future of Africa's transport corridors will depend not only on infrastructure investments, but also on how effectively these systems translate movement into economic value. At the recent Landlink Zambia 2026 conference, themed Beyond Borders, Shaping the Future of Africa's Transport Corridors for Shared Prosperity, Stanbic Head of Business and Commercial Bank Chanda Mwela highlighted a shift from focusing solely on long-term infrastructure goals to addressing the immediate economic realities of corridor execution. She said that Zambia's growing role as Landlink's trade hub is driven by rising mining output, increased fuel flows, and expanding regional trade, leading to higher volumes along key routes. However, she pointed out that inefficiencies within these corridors have become direct economic constraints rather than mere logistical issues. Corridor performance now heavily influences investment decisions, with predictability and reliability becoming as important as physical capacity. From a financial perspective, Stanbic stressed the need for closer alignment between logistic systems and financial flows. While infrastructure facilitates movement, the real value depends on transaction efficiency. Meanwhile, Transport and Logistics Minister Frank Karani, in his keynote address, called for prioritizing intra-African trade to reduce reliance on exporting raw materials and importing costly finished goods. He outlined major infrastructure projects such as the revitalization of Tazara, recapitalization of Zambia Railways, the Kafue Line's Ben Railway project to Zimbabwe, and the implementation of the one-stop border post at key crossings to reduce delays and boost trade efficiency. However, the minister stressed that infrastructure alone is not enough. The future lies in developing comprehensive economic corridors with logistic hubs, dry ports, agro-processing zones, and industrial parks to ensure local communities benefit from trade. In international news, Mali is under growing pressure as coordinated attacks target major cities, use covert infiltration, and bring together rival armed groups, according to political analyst Joasse Asimon. The goal, Asimon says, is to weaken the current government, roll back its gains, and recapture territory. Simultaneous attacks have hit cities and strategic locations, including Gao and Kidal, in a bid to destabilize the authorities quickly. Another striking element is the scale of the operation. Many of those involved reportedly wore Malian army uniforms and had spent weeks preparing. According to the analysis, some had already infiltrated society and were waiting for orders to launch the attacks. The Malian army has responded with counter-offensive. Reports also suggest some civilians were involved, including efforts to recover bodies after army airstrikes. Mali is now confronting groups that have chosen to fight together despite having different goals. The FLA presents itself as an independence movement seeking to reclaim territory, while the JNIM, linked to Al-Qaeda, seeks broader territorial control and establishment of the caliphate. Still within international news, Democratic Republic of Congo announced on Monday the creation of a paramilitary guard backed by U.S. and Emirati investments to secure its vast mining operations. The General Inspectorate of Mines, IGM, said the guard was a paramilitary special unit intended to secure the entire mineral exploitation chain in the DRC. The new unit will be deployed gradually, with an initial 2,500 to 3,000 personnel expected to be operational by December, following 6 months of training and military collaboration, the IGM said in a statement. The paramilitary force is projected to have more than 20,000 personnel across all of Congo's 22 mining provinces by the end of 2028, with the aim of boosting investor confidence and